We have been starting our worship services with a psalm, and so I want to continue that. I love the psalms. The psalms are so rich, and they tell us so much about just life in general. And one of the things I love about the psalms is that the psalmist is very honest with God. It doesn't matter if the psalmist is in a good mood or if the psalmist is in a bad mood. Either way, the psalmist is more than willing to say what is on his mind. And so here is it's one of the steadfastness of the Lord. Psalm 33 begins, "Shout for joy to the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and stand by the breath of the mouth of all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and came to be. He commanded and it stood firm." Let's worship God.
Father God, help us to come into your presence. Help us to rest in your love and your peace. Open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear the words you have for each one of us today. And God, we just pray that all that we do, sing, say during the service will be glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you want to stand up again, we're going to sing more songs. If you can't stand, it's okay. Just whatever makes you happy. We're going to start with Take Time to Be Holy.
Friends of God's children, help those
song is Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Change my heart, oh God. Seated.
Good morning. today's theme is God helps us overcome giants in our daily life. Giants, yes. And the scripture today comes from First Samuel 17:1-49. So I've got a couple of things here. I've got a little bag, and I got a measuring tape. But I wonder what's in the little bag. What do you think might be in there?
Marbles.
Marbles? Money?
Snack.
My snack? Well, let's see what's in here.
Why don't you bite the kids up so they can
see? They could, but I think we're just going to do it this way for a couple of weeks yet. Okay? We'll get there. So, I have 5 smooth rocks.
Okay, 2 over here and 3 here. I wonder what this is about.
Well, the stones make me think of what happened in the Bible with 2 men, David and Goliath. You probably know the story. You may have already read about it in the Bible, and you know that David defeated Goliath. Goliath was a mighty warrior, and he was said to be more than 9 feet tall. How tall do you think that is? Do you think that's about this tall? Do you think it's about this tall?
Yes.
Well, guess what? Let's find out. That's 8 feet.
He's a big boy.
Well, I measured it earlier. 9 feet is right about there.
Wow.
It's technology, it's tools, things go wrong. That's pretty tall. I mean, that's even bigger than some basketball players I've stood beside, and I felt really small beside them, but man, 9 foot tall. I guess it's hard for any of us to show that height, but we can see with the measuring tape, Goliath wasn't only tall, but he was also very strong. The armor he wore covered his whole body and his head, and he had a sword and a spear. The armor was said to have weighed over 100 pounds. That's a lot. That's probably more than most of the kids. I know I'm more than 100 pounds, so. I know what it's like to carry an extra 100 pounds being a firefighter. That was like the gear that you wore going into a fire weighed about that much. That's a lot. And David's weapon was a slingshot. So you probably saw a slingshot that you'd pull back and you'd let go, and you'd probably take a rock and put that in there. His was a little different. It was a strap that had some string connected to it, and it had a little thing in there. And he would use rocks. He didn't use a sword. He didn't use a spear. He used a rock. David went down to the local stream, and he picked up out of the stream before he went to challenge Goliath, and he picked up rocks to use. David defeated that giant, and all the other soldiers were afraid to face. We might not face any 9-foot giants and any other things like that, but we fight insecurity, loneliness, failure, and we can remember David's 5 stones to help us defeat the giants we face. So the first rock represents courage. David was not afraid to face the enemy. And God said to him, "Don't be worried about anything." David told Saul, "I'll go fight this Philistine," from Samuel 17:32. "You'll use courage to face your giants in life." Scoot this over so I have room for my rocks. The second rock, identified by confidence. As a shepherd, David protected his sheep from the wild animals. So he had confidence to face Goliath. The Lord who saves me from the claws of the lion and the bear will save me from this Philistine. That comes from 1 Samuel 17:37. Like David, you can have confidence that God will help you overcome the problems you face. The third stone is going to represent preparation. David didn't face the giant unprepared. He went to the stream, he collected 5 smooth stones, and in a bag, armed with his shepherd's staff and his slingshot, he went to fight Goliath. From 1 Samuel 17:40, it's important for you to prepare to face challenges in your life too. The fourth stone, trust. David didn't trust his own ability when he shouted at Goliath, cursed him, and he was ready to kill him. David said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you with the name of the Lord God Almighty," from Samuel 17:45. When we face our own problems, put your trust in God and not in your own. The fifth stone represents victory. It's God's battle, not ours, David said in 1 Samuel 17:50. That's why David had victory over the giant with only one stone and a sling. When you turn your battles over to God, you'll have confidence in victory over the giants in your life. So the next time that you're facing a giant, remember the 5 smooth stones. The first one, confidence. Second one, preparation. Third, trust. Fourth is victory. Oop, did I forget something here? Courage, I forgot courage. Well, courage, sorry. I should put letters on the stones. That way I know where I was at. Thank you. Will you all pray with me? Dear God, just as you gave Goliath victory in his battle, just as you gave David the victory in his battle over Goliath, we know when we put our trust in you, you will give us victory over the giants we face in our daily life. We also ask you to be with John as he presents the message to us today. We ask you to come and be a part of our worship service as we're listening to the message that John is delivering. May the words that comes out of his mouth ring something that is from you that is important for us to hear today. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Now I got it to work. Thank you.
I realize after thinking about inviting the kids forward that there's a reason why we're not doing that. Hello, COVID again. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We will get through this. You and I, we're on a journey. And it's a journey that began the first time we ever became aware that there was a creator God, and it will not end until our time on this earth is finished. It's a journey of faith. We're all on that journey of faith. Most people will tell you that there are times when they feel like they have a lot of faith, and there are times when they don't even know what they believe. As we're gathering here this morning, we're all somewhere on that continuum. Some of us are saying, yeah, I'm ready to go face a Goliath. And some of us are saying, I don't want to go anywhere, depending on where you are with your faith. And that's a part of life. Last week, we got a glimpse of the final judgment from our reading in Matthew 25, and we're going to continue in there today. Last week we talked about how Jesus came in glory and he separated the people like a shepherd separates. That's not as easy to say as you might think. How a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep were representing the righteous and the goats the unrighteous. To the sheep, Jesus said, "Come you who are blessed," and to the goats, he said, "Depart from me, you cursed." Jesus speaks in that passage of having been hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, and in prison. And yet both groups, the righteous and the unrighteous, asked him, "When did we see you as one of those?" And his response to both is, "As you have done for the least of these, you did it unto me." Interestingly, neither was aware of what they were or were not doing. The righteous were not aware that they were doing these things because they asked the question, "When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you naked and needing clothing? When did we see you sick or in prison?" And the unrighteous asked the very same question. Well, today our text, let me back up because I want to make one more statement about that. For the righteous, their actions was simply an outflow of their relationship with God. For the unrighteous, again, their not doing it was simply an outflow of their relationship with God. Today we're going to back up in chapter 25, because sometimes it helps to start with the end in mind. And so we've already done 31 through 40. So today we're going to do 14 through 30. Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. Let's read our scriptures together. Oh boy, that's not what I expected to come up. Okay, we're working with technology, and some of the things are not translating as they once did. I'll begin reading. Those of you with bionic vision, you can follow along. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2 talents, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents. He made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents here. I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. So our first question when we're looking at this passage, it's got to be, what is a talent? Well, in the New Testament times, it was a unit of monetary reckoning. Doesn't that sound like the way I talk? No, this is a definition I pulled out of a book. It is a unit of monetary reckoning and the equivalent of about 20 years' wages for a laborer. Okay? From the ESV Study Bible, we read this. In approximate modern equivalents, if a laborer earns $15 per hour at 2,000 hours per year, he would earn $30,000 per year. And a talent then would be equal to $600,000. Imagine that. One talent is worth $600,000. So when we're talking five or two or one, in approximate modern equivalents, we'd be talking $3 million, $1.2 million, and $600,000, if I've done my math right. This property owner is entrusting his servants literally with a fortune. Ironically, he himself later refers to it as a little. Think about that. Because in Matthew 25:15, he says, to the one he gave five talents, to another two, to another, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. So he gives these talents, he gives these things to his servants. He's entrusting it. And then he just goes away. He trusts them with his fortune. Now, there's a remarkable trust that is indicated here. Millions of dollars, decades of a laborer's earnings are entrusted to these workers. And then we see what they do with them, right? We see what they do with what they've been entrusted. In verse 16 through 18, we read, he who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Okay, so there's three slides there, Scott. Boom, boom, boom. There we go. Thank you. And what happens? Inevitably, the master returns, right? We know that the master's coming back, as Jesus is telling the story. We know that the master's going to come back, and we see each bring the master what they had been entrusted to them, plus what they'd earned with it. In our reading, we see that those entrusted with five talents, two talents, they doubled what they'd been given. But the one who'd been given only one talent brings only one talent back. What's more, the one who'd been given one talent totally misjudges the master. In verses 24 and 25, he says, he also had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. Ouch. The servant seems to have gotten it all wrong. He makes a judgment on his master. You are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow. That sounds like he's accusing him of stealing. You're taking where you did not sow and then gathering where you did not scatter seed. Sounds almost like he's calling him lazy. You didn't scatter the seed and yet you gather there. It's like the pot calling the kettle black. Who was the lazy one here? This servant did nothing but bury it for how long, we don't know. It was a long time before the master came back. This servant has been given 20 years' wages at one time. And rather than invest it, rather than work with it, he does nothing with it. Why? Why, if you were given 20 years' wages, would you do absolutely nothing with it? Now, I don't know if they had inflation at the time, but if they did, in essence, that one talent that he's giving back to his master is worth less than when his master left. So let's look at verse 25 on why he did nothing with it. Verse 25 of chapter 25. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. His fear stopped him. His fear stopped him. Now, let me tell you something. Fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. It lies to us all the time. A few years ago, some of the guys and I were up at Cape and Ray Harbor up in Canada, and they have this pole that they call the screamer. There's a reason for it. You scream when you have to jump off it. But at the top of the pole, you climb up this pole, and I think it's 60 feet in the air, if I remember correctly, 50, 60 feet. And there's an 8-inch plate on top of the pole. It's not like a platform that sits out there. It's on top of the pole. And you have to climb up on top of the pole and stand on this thing and then jump for a ring that's 6 feet out, which technically, if I just held up my arms and fell over, I could grab. But it seems like it's, you know, a half mile away. But the best explanation I ever had of that was one of the guys that was talking about this pole. He says, now look, how many of you think you can do it? And, you know, a few people kind of maybe there were some more vibrato and some, yeah, I could do it, no problem. And he says, but here's the thing. Some of you are afraid that you won't be able to do it. And he pulled out a log that was about 8 inches in diameter. It was on a base so it wouldn't fall over. And he set the log down, and he just steps up onto it. And he says, how many of you think you could do that? Everybody's hand went up. And he says, there's no difference. There is no difference. It's an 8-inch plate. The only difference is that that one's 50 feet in the air. But your body and your mind tells you that it's very different. Your body and your mind tell you, you can't do that, but you can do this. It's the same thing. And our fear stops us. This servant had been given 20 years of wages, and yet his fear stops him. But contrast that with the other two. He who had received the 5 talents went at once. As soon as he got the 5 talents, well, I guess if I had $3 million, I'd go start spending it somehow too. But he'd been given all this wealth, and what does he do? He goes out immediately and starts trading with it, and he makes 5 talents more. And the one who had the 2 talents, he does the same thing. So here comes the question. As we compare the two, where either went at once, traded, and made more, or I was afraid, I went and hid. Those seem to be the choices that are being depicted within this passage. Now, the landowner might have been a man with high expectations. I don't know. Never met the man. Plus, it's a story that Jesus is telling. It isn't a real event that happened, right? It's one of Jesus' parables. So, it says that he was a hard man. Maybe that's what the servant meant when he said that he was a hard man. Maybe he meant that he had high expectations. He might have been difficult to work with. We don't know. What is clear, though, is beyond his abundant wealth, which he obviously has, because when he says to the one that's been trusted with 5 talents, 100 years worth of wages at one time, he says, you've been a good steward over a little. Yeah, okay. 100 years wages is a little. Okay. But so he's been good over a little. He'll be put in charge of much more. The 3 workers had all received 100 years wages, 40 years wages, and 20 years wages, respectively. And imagine the opportunities that could afford. Yet due to this servant's fear, the one servant that received only 1 talent, what does he do? He hides it. His fear of losing it cost him the generosity he had received. Our fear of losing something can often cause us to lose sight of the generosity that we've received. Now, as we know, Jesus is telling this as a story. This is not really what happened. It is the third of three parables reminding us to be ready for Jesus' return. And there's so much for us to learn here. First of all, the master entrusted to them his property. The master is entrusting his servants with the property. All that we see around us is not ours. It's God's. God is the creator. As Christians who believe in God as our creator, everything, including ourselves, is his. The second thing we learn is God is incredibly generous. The fact that the amount is based on a talent, 20 years' wages for the common laborer, signifies God is being most generous. As a side thought, I wonder if these might have been symbolic of their years to live. I wonder if you had 1 year to live, 2 years to live. Actually, wait, do it in wages here. 20 years to live, 40 years to live, 100 years to live. If you had that, how are you investing it? What are you doing with it? Or are you hiding the talents that God has given you because you're afraid that you might fail? I think it was, Edison, I think, that said that failure is just a way of learning one way that doesn't work. That's an amazing insight. God is incredibly generous. So how are we spending our time in the world? To the one who gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. Our talents, the talents that you and I have been given to us according to our ability. I found it interesting as I was preparing for the sermon when I used a translator and I went between different languages, that talent, the word that we use for talent, like a skill, ability, whatever, is basically the same word in a bunch of different languages, in Spanish, in German, in Greek, I can't read Russian, so I don't know if that was the same. But when they gave the definition, it was always a skill, ability, an aptitude. It's as if God controlled language so that when Jesus was telling the story about a talent, which was 20 years' wages, that it would later, 2,000 years later, be translated for all these different languages to understand that that can be a skill, an ability, or something that we are good at, that we've been gifted with. The word is most often translated as ability, skill, aptitude, and of course, a talent. And so I think God did have a hand in that, in the creating of language. Those who use their talents gain more talents. Have you ever seen that individual that is just disgustingly talented? You know what I'm talking about. Maybe it's an athletic person, okay? I have a friend from high school. This guy, I don't think he ever lost a game he played. That's not true. He played for our football team, so I know he lost a lot of things. My high school team didn't win a game the entire time, my entire high school career. I wasn't on it, so I don't take blame. But this guy, a friend said, I taught him to play tennis. He lost the first game against me, and he never lost to me again. This guy was just gifted with sports. He played football, he played baseball, he played tennis. They always give me the tennis racket with the trap door, you know. I swear, I know it's got a trap door. I can't find it, but I know it's there because the ball just goes right on through. But the one who has talent can be given more talents. I see it among some of you. Some of you sew and you cook and you do all these things and garden. I'm thinking of you, Sharon. She's okay. But we've got talents, we've got gifts. If we use them, you know what it does? It gives us more experiences. And when you have more experiences, guess what? You discover things. And when you discover things, you learn how to do more things. And that's what using our talents does. Now, both the servant that had five and he who had two began trading with them at once. They used their talents, no doubt in forming some sort of a business at the time. They didn't hide them. You and I have been entrusted with a lot by the world's standards. If we look around the world, we can compare ourselves to other people, the people down the street. We can drive to that really nice neighborhood where they've got seemingly a lot more than us. But we don't know what debt they have on that house, right? It's easy to judge a book by its cover. When we compare ourselves to others, we always lose. Yet when we look at anyone in the United States, and I do mean anyone, we are living far above a lot of people in the world. But how are we investing our time? How are we investing our talents? How are we investing our treasure in God's kingdom? Whether you have one, two, or five talents, the question for all of us is, are you using them? Or are you hiding them? Are you using them or are you hiding them? I firmly believe that any group, but I will say of any church, that God provides that church every talent it needs for success in the mission that it is called to. But I also know that any church, any group will not be successful if people choose not to invest the talents that God has provided for that church that they have in that. It's like if I'm on a football team, not that I did play football, it was scary. I warmed the bench really well. Let's say if your tackle decides he's not going to block for the quarterback, you know, you're not going to make many touchdowns. If the receiver decides, oh, wow, the quarterback threw a nice pass, but, you know, I don't want to get my hands dirty, and just lets the ball go by, you're not going to get many touchdowns. It takes everybody doing what they've been gifted to and what they've offered, the talents that they have, to make the team go forward. You can say the same thing of any play. If somebody decides not to play their part, the play doesn't make any sense. We need to play our part. Only those who use them, who use their talents, were told that phrase that I think just about anybody would want on their epitaph, and that is, well done, good and faithful servant. I've seen it on many a headstone. I think we all, as Christians, would want to hear that from our Lord Jesus. But only those who invest their talents are doing that. So let's talk about investment. Remember last week we spoke of the judgment. We realized that the righteous were doing the very things Jesus rewarded them for, but they were unaware of doing it. I believe this was because it was a natural outflow of their relationship with God. They simply did what they observed the Father doing. I love that image of of the little girl, you know, in the kitchen with mom. Mom's baking, and so the little girl's covered with flour too, of course. You know, she's helping. Or the little boy that's with his little popcorn mower following dad as he's mowing the lawn. I realize that I'm being a little bit putting people into categories, and I don't mean to do that. But I believe because they were doing a natural outflow of their relationship with God, that's why they didn't realize that they, in feeding the poor, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, helping the poor, clothing the naked, housing those without shelter, in doing those things, it was a natural outflow. They weren't aware of it because it was just something that God would do. And they're God's servants. I believe the same is true of our talents. The one servant who misjudged the master obviously did not know him very well. He judged him as hard when his master was generous. He said he was reaping where he did not sow and gathering where he did not scatter seed, instead of recognizing how the master was invested throughout his property and had even invested in him. He gave him 20 years' wages to do something with. And the servant went and hid it. God has invested in you. How are you putting God's investment to use? Don't misjudge our God. God created you and gave you talents according to your ability, abilities that God gave you. You may not recognize that ability within yourself, but God has already recognized it in you. I've said it before and I'll say it again. There is no greater life that you can live than the one you were created for. There is no greater life that can be lived than the one you were created for. Let's pray. God, as we are on this journey, a journey of faith, we don't know when it will end, whether it be your coming or whether it'll be we're called up into glory. But God, however it is, however long this journey is, we also recognize that you've given us talents, skills, abilities. You've given us hearts and passions for certain issues. And God, we ask that you would give us the courage, Lord, to not be like the servant who went and hid, but to be like those who went and immediately began investing. God, we pray that we would live the life that you create us for. You know us from the inside out. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So God, help us to be the people you created us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in our worship this morning, we're going to have an offering, but as COVID, we're still not passing our plate, so the offering plate is actually sitting out. You may think we got a new piece of furniture. We didn't. It's actually our baptistry. We just set the offering plate in it. But if you want to take this time as our musicians come forward and sing the offertory, think about how you're offering yourself to God. And also, it's a time to offer our treasure to God. And then on our way out, as we leave worship today, you can drop it in the offering plate. Thank you.
True.
Thank you. As we continue in worship this morning, every day we gather, we have our bulletins. For those of you that are maybe out in a car, or if you're at home, you can let us know, and we can make sure you get on our email list so you receive the bulletin even before worship. But there, we have a list of prayers and thanksgivings and all of that, and I like to keep these tucked in my Bible. In fact, I was looking for the bulletin and got a little scared because it was the same font, and then I noticed on the front cover that this is May 12th. But so I have a lot of bulletins in my Bible, but I encourage you to keep this in your Bible or tape it on a mirror someplace, wherever you're going to be able to pray, and to continue to pray throughout the week. You might tape it to the mirror, and while you're brushing your teeth, Dennis tells me 2 minutes, so that's 2 minutes of prayer. If you've got one of those electronic toothbrushes, it may even tell you when the 2 minutes is up. So, but let's go to God, and let's share our joys and our prayers and concerns with our Lord. Let's pray. Sovereign God, we are thankful for this time of year when we see so many on our social media, or we have friends and family and so many that are graduating and they're reaching that big milestone. God, we celebrate with Cole on his graduation from Shorecrest High School, Lord, and we thank you for the journey that's been. We thank you for Pastor Ray, who was here before, and just thank you for his service here. We pray now that you would just guide Cole as he looks at his future and what that will entail and what talents and skills that you've given him and where he will be led with those. And God, we look forward to seeing how Cole impacts the world because of the spirit that is within him. Lord, we continue to pray for Haven as she's had this long open-heart surgery. We thank you that her chest is closed up. I thank you that she's on, what did you call it, Therese, BiPAP, and able to be talking and doing all those things. And God, now we look forward to her being able to get out of that bed. She's been in that bed for a long time. I pray that you continue to give her strength and just the miracle that she is. God, I thank you also for her parents, and I know that they no doubt have been crying out to you often. And I pray that you would remind them how you have heard their prayers and that they would be drawn closer to you. Thank you, and we give you the glory, Lord, that she's getting stronger, continuing to fight the infections, and after this open heart surgery, just able to continue to move forward. God, help us to all do that. We lift up to you Jan, and who was recently hospitalized with vertigo, and we thank you that Lance was able to be down there with her and that he had safe travels home. We continue to pray for healing for her now that she is at home, and God, we ask that you would just take away that vertigo. As one who's experienced it, I don't wish it on anybody. We pray for Jerry, and who's been diagnosed with this immuno disease. Lord, we ask that she would be able to get the proper treatment, and that she would be able to be out of the hospital and just moving forward. God, be with her. Give her a sense of peace and comfort. Continue to pray for Barb. We thank you that recent tests were benign. We pray for the second opinion that she's going for, and that you would give her and the doctors, her medical team, Lord, wisdom as to how to proceed. And we pray that for your presence and peace to be with her. We continue to pray for Daryl, Lord. He is just, the amount of energy that man has, the amount of work that he does is truly amazing. And God, as he continues to undergo chemo, I know that this week is a week that he was receiving it. So I just ask that you would give him a sense of time to rest, a sense of your peace. Especially pray for Joyce and for Anne, and pray for your comfort to be with them as Daryl walks this road. And I pray that the chemo he's receiving would shrink those tumors so that they can be removed. We pray for Cindy. And we pray against the Parkinson's she's been diagnosed with. Pray for good treatment and for your presence to be with her. We lift up to you, Bob, and we pray for, as he's looking at this extended recovery, Lord, we pray that he would be back to normal soon. We pray that he would be cautious and listen to his doctors and do as they tell him, which is so hard to do, especially for a long recovery. And we pray for Elizabeth as well, that she would be patient with him and patient with herself as she cares for him. God, we lift up to you all those that are in need today. God, I know that in a group this size, there are going to be other concerns. There are going to be other worries. There are going to be other things to celebrate as well. So God, we thank you for each and every one of them. We thank you for those challenges, those concerns that we have, because they remind us to turn to you. We thank you for our celebrations because they remind us that, yes, indeed, you do bless us. God, we thank you also for sending your son. We thank you that he taught us to pray, and we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue in worship, we have a few announcements just before we go, and I'm just going to let Scott put them up. So today, the nominating committee is meeting after worship, and they're meeting in person. So if you are part of that committee, please be there. That would be good. Bible study meets on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. via Zoom, and they're going to continue via Zoom. So if it just makes it easier for if you're just getting home from work, you don't have to rush up here to the church. I think it makes it easier for the leaders as well. And so I will tell you, I'm only able to join very late in the Bible study, but it's so fun to be a fly on the wall as I'm driving home and listening via Zoom, and just to hear their insights. It really, I encourage you all to be a part of that. If you are considering being that God is calling you, we've talked about talents today, time, talent, and treasure. If you're considering being an elder or a deacon, if you would talk to one of our nominating committee, and I know that Natalie is in the back there, but if you're considering that, come talk to me after the service. I'll point you out to her if you don't know who she is, which I find hard to believe. But hey, is that it? No. Deacons, your next meeting is June 20th. It's going to be in person, so that's next week. And then our called congregational meeting, the date has been changed, okay? We're still working on getting those deacons and elders. So it will be Sunday, July 27th. And I realize that's a long ways off. It's July. Oh, 25th. Oh, we just changed the month, not the day. C'est la vie. Such is life. Yeah, we were scrambling for some of the things. So that with that, let's have our parting hymn, Make Me a Blessing. As I give our benediction, I'm going to step outside as I've been doing, and I don't know if I can't see in the windshield, so I'm not sure anybody's out here, but I will give the benediction. I hope you are. And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond all we can ask or even imagine, to him be all glory, honor, and praise, both now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Go in peace. May God bless you.
Mighty to part the waters and the sea, but it only took one little life to separate you and me. Oh, we are not as strong as we think we are. And this in one day Joshua, he made the sun stand still in the sky. But I can't even keep these thoughts.